Last week, as we were getting near the end of our section on self-control, or temperance, as the word says, I think they try to dress it up a little bit so we won't feel so bad if we mess it up once in a while. We all have this body of flesh that houses the Spirit of the living God, and we're in the process of renewing our minds to the word, and all of those play to a great advantage for us to live an overcoming, victorious Christian life, to where we don't have to go back to the beggarly elements of the world, as I believe it was Paul that said that. It might have been Peter, but he said not having to return to the beggarly elements of the world, meaning a life just led by our feelings. Oh my, did anybody ever get in trouble for doing that before? Just going after what felt good? Oh boy, I remember coming out of the 60s like that. If it feels good, do it. And it did feel good, and I did it, and now I paid for it. That wasn't a good thing, because that whole seems like a whole generation of people took a really bad turn during the 10 years of the 60s. And it's taken a long time for things to come back to, well, my generation, some of you that were teenagers in the 60s, it's taken a long time to see people come around and have a relationship with the Lord, and not just flower power and hippy-dippy dope days, which I thoroughly enjoyed at the time, or was deceived into thinking I enjoyed. But I like my new life in Christ much better. Amen. And I like learning that being a believer is not as difficult as one thinks it is, even in the worst of conditions. How can anyone take what you believe in your heart? We can face great discouragements and sometimes despair, depression, but no one can take what's in your heart. They maybe can take what's in your mind, but not what's in your heart. And we learn these things through principles of the Word. We talked a little bit about the contrast that Paul came to deal with in Romans chapter 7, and the great battle that waged between the spirit and the flesh, and it always will as long as we're in these earth suits. And it's not an easy word for us to get a hold of, because the enemy could take something and use it to beat us up or put condemnation on us. But we don't have to receive that, because thank God for Romans chapter 8. And verse 1 says, therefore there is now. Now is an important word. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And it's really important that as believers, that's what we seek, is to walk more and more after what the Holy Spirit would have us to do than after our flesh. And today I must tell you, that little basket I put back there behind Brad with Pastor Sherrard's name on it, in all the years that we've had a special offering, I've never once, and anyone has ever said who it was for, because the flesh could determine your giving. It really can. If you know who's going to get it, it can determine what you give, rather than the temptation is there to think like that. But if you're spiritually minded, you will see the need, and we'll all do what we can. But that's just an example that happened today. That's the first time that's ever happened, and it was risky. But I know you. I trust you. I see your spiritual growth, that you wouldn't let that determine whether you did or whether you didn't do something. And we've come a long ways as a church spiritually. There is a lot of maturity and growth in this body. It's a great environment for new believers to come in, because you're like oak trees. You provide the shade for the little lambs and the new believers, and there's a lot of stability here. And so you can handle this. I can handle this. If I can bring it, we can all handle it. pressure requires a lot of training. By that I mean it takes discipline and practice to overcome addictions, bad habits, things that are contrary to our Christian walk. And we have to be diligent. We have to keep working at it and not give up and say, this is too hard. Because right when you think it's too hard is when you're about that close to your victory. It just seems to work that way. When God comes through in the midnight hour, well, it's not midnight. Stay with it. Don't give up. And I'd like to take you to a little example of this in Matthew chapter 26. This is getting near Jesus' crucifixion. And conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Before that, Jesus was really, really struggling with the thought of, if there's any other way that I can redeem lost humanity other than the cross, Lord, I'll be all for it. And if you remember, three times he petitioned the Lord in the scriptures just above that. He asked his disciples to come and pray with him. And he went and found them sleeping and woke them up and said, can't you even just stay awake for 1 hour? But he came to the place after that. Verse 40, he came unto his disciples and found them sleeping and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This tells me that the flesh is always ready to jump into temptations and take full pleasure in whatever those temptations are. But through prayer and through fasting, it helps discipline us so that temptation is all around us, and it's not a sin to be tempted. It is when we give in to it. That's the difference. But fasting and prayer helps us to discipline ourselves so that those things that were once really strong, striving to get a hold of us, lose their grip over our lives, so that it's much easier to say no. We're of a generation where, you probably remember, I believe it was under President Reagan's administration, where Nancy had a policy about drugs that she wanted to get out to the young people in the schools, and the phrase was, just say no. Well, that requires a tremendous amount of willpower. And do you know, even in our faith, being able to just say no, I know a lot of pastors that are so burned out that their houses, their home life is falling apart because they can't say no. It isn't that they can't, it's they won't say no. Because we can all get so busy being busy that the main thing is no longer the main thing of keeping the main thing the main thing. Please don't ask me to say that again. But it's true. And so learning, that's all part of our growth in maturity, is learning to say no and really meaning it and using the power of the Holy Spirit to back it up. I'm kind of summarizing because we're getting near the end of this, but examples are, I know I shouldn't say this, but. Well, that's the Holy Spirit trying to check you, then don't say it. Or I know I shouldn't do this, but. If you knew what that person did to me, you'd want to whack them too. But see, the Holy Spirit, if given the opportunity, will give us the power and the strength to withstand doing that which the flesh wants to do. Without the Spirit empowering us, it's very difficult to walk a disciplined life. The military was helpful to me and any of the others. Any other vets in the house? Not veterinarians, veterans. Yes. And we know how they had 8 weeks to turn us into little little giants of the world, why we could go out and conquer death in 8 weeks. And from all walks of life, they would gather us all together and make us all live together in barracks with no air conditioning. And lots of training and discipline, so that in a time of war or in a time of battle, we wouldn't fall apart and we would know what to do. And spiritually, that's the same. We're in the army of the Lord, and it's going to take discipline and training for us. That's why this, when Peter put these all in this order of progression for fail-proof living, having self-control is of great value, because if we can't, we're not going to be ready for the next level, which is patience and steadfastness and endurance. See, that's what's coming. So in this series, each one of these has a part to play, and they're all connected, and when you get to the end, you'll see where it comes down to. As Peter said, you will come to that place where you will never fall. That's pretty powerful. So a couple other examples, Mark 13:38. Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 13 and verse 38. No, that's not true. There aren't 38 verses in Mark chapter 13. Don't go there. You won't find it. I don't know why I had that, so I'm not going to mess with it. If it's not there, I'm not going to repeat it. Excuse me? Cross over it? Yeah, that's right. My funny Bible. Sometimes when I'm writing, I think I'm on one page and I'm not, because sometimes chapters begin and end in the middle of a page, and it's easy to do that. So we'll go on, and how I have just a few little examples to close up with of how easy it is that man has devised so many ways to live life more comfortably, to pamper the flesh. How many of you drive a car with power steering? Yeah. Why do you think that was invented? So you don't have to work so hard at maneuvering your car. A little way to make life a little more easy, make driving more pleasurable, make it more less strenuous, if you will, on long journeys. Does your truck have power steering, your old truck? No, I didn't think so. It's different, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. You can't hold a Big Mac and a wheel in the same hand. How many got cars with automatic transmissions? You don't have to shift anymore. Let the motor do it for you. Isn't that true? See, those all go back to man inventing things that make life easier for us so we can pamper ourselves. Man, do you realize everything you can have in a hand when you don't have to shift? Yeah. Yeah. But let your mind do a little trip, you know, when you don't have to shift. It just opens up the door for other opportunities to get distracted, because we get lulled into a false sense of a safety and security. And you can still buy standard stick shifts. My last truck was a 5-speed, and I liked it. But I like autopilot better. And I don't use, that's one thing I don't use, is the, I don't even know what you call it, a cruise control. I always feel like I'm out of control to use cruise control. Boy, you come up behind another car, and your car is locked into zip mode, and somebody's playing with a cell phone in the center lane, and all the traffic is going 70 miles an hour or 75, they're going to get run over. But all these inventions really clearly illustrate this point of how man is constantly coming up with things to make life easy so that it pampers our flesh. Let me see. How many use the elevator or the escalator instead of stairs? Uh-huh. See, if we use the stairs more often, our bodies would stay a lot healthier because you're using energy, you're using calories, and you're using your joints and keeping them free. And any exercise that involves stepping or climbing, those are really good. I ran all the way to the top of my 32-foot ladder yesterday like it was nothing. I do that all the time when I'm painting. And I'll be 69 in 2 more weeks. And I love climbing, I love walking, I love hiking, I like all that stuff. And I seem to never get tired because it's a way of life that I've had for many, many years. And my Nordic Track cross-country ski machine, my flesh would say, ah, why bother, it's already too late. Somebody would probably call me and have to break up my routine. That's my flesh. But when I see the benefits of it, I certainly am quick to take advantage of that. All right, here's another one. How many use a gas or electric stove instead of cooking with a wood fire? Uh-huh. Most of us do, don't we?
I don't think my landlord would want me to start a fire in my kitchen.
No, there's a lot of reasons why we don't. But many of us live in the day when that was the norm. Yeah, that's right. And so all of these things have been invented to make life easier. And the last one, this will get somebody. Let me see if I have one under here somewhere. Oh, nope, I don't. I was going to get out the clicker and point it at the air conditioners, but they're not in yet. We'll just use the TV instead. I don't like that channel. Click. I don't like what that guy's preaching. Click. I like that guy. Woo-hoo. Yes, sir. No, I don't want him. Blip. And so quick. And we don't even have to get off the couch or out of our lazy boy recliners. Dude, you know the one with the handle and your foot pops out when you put the crank open? That's cool. That's really flesh-pleasing right there. All those kind of gadgets we got in the house are the rocking chair. Rocking for Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm getting a Holy Ghost rush. Oh, yeah, rock a little more. Oh, my. What we do to ourselves. I enjoy it, too. Come on, I'm with you guys. But this is real, you know, and how we can learn so many things in the natural we can apply spiritually to our walk of our faith walk, and how it sounds silly and we can have a lot of fun. I'd rather have fun than sit here and we just beat ourselves up over these things. These are given, they were invented, they're for our use, but not for them to have control over us. And that's really the whole gist of this, is to not let our flesh dictate who's going to win in this battle of faith. And that's really the most important. And so even though some of these things are, we just take them for granted. I mean, think how easy kids start driving your car when they're 14 without the automatic transmission. They'd have to learn to really have to drive a car, and without power brakes and all the little electronic gadgets that help, driver's ed would be a lot more difficult than when I went to school so long ago. Only one kid in the whole high school had a car, and there was no such thing as driver ed, except what mom and dad took you out with the one car the family had, and that's how you learned to drive, if they dared to ride with you more than 3 times. Done a lot of mom and dad scaring in our days. You want my what? Where are you going? No way, Jose. Anyway, the gist of all of this is to see how quickly our flesh goes after those things. There's an appeal for those things because naturally it has a mind of its own, if you will, until we learn to let the Holy Spirit empower us to make right choices and right decisions in our lives. Otherwise, we're just like that bull in the pasture with a ring in its nostrils being led around by our enemy, who just loves to wallow in our flesh and use it against us and deceive us into doing things we ought not to do. So, with that in mind, next week, be patient. We're going to talk about patience and what biblical patience means versus what we think it means. And you're going to come away from this one really having a much deeper understanding when the scriptures tell us to be patient. It's not talking about just putting up with somebody or something. It's really learning to get the victory over it and persevere. Anybody need prayer this morning?